They would spend their lives draped in velvet if it were socially acceptable. This is Carpenter and Rothman.
All right, welcome back. Draft 220 in the books, 2020 rather. And Andy Benoit, who covers this thing better than most, NFL analyst and reporter. He's got his grades out on SI.com, and we get to talk to him now. Andy, good to have you.
Hey, guys, how are you?
We're doing pretty well, man. You know, we were highly featured, right, with Cleveland there at pick 10 and certainly with Cincinnati up top there with Joe Burrow. And why don't we start there with Cincinnati? I mean, here, you know, it was pretty much a no-brainer taking Burrow. It just everything about it screamed that they had to do it and that they wouldn't be tempted by taking a, you know, Tua. But do you feel like that they will – how should I put this? How good do you think Burrow is going to be? That's number one. And number two, how much better can they be this year alone with A.J. Green back and Jonah Williams back and T. Higgins hopefully making a good start? I mean, you anticipate a quick bounce back here for Cincinnati.
Yeah, I do. To what degree they bounce back remains to be seen. I don't know if they're a playoff caliber team quite yet, but those guys returning that you touched on, what stood out on film with Cincinnati every week last year, and it got better as the season went along, but it never got well, was that their offensive line couldn't block anybody, and their receivers, the receiving core, did not have enough dimension to really run the full extent of the offense. So Higgins being there, Green being healthy, that changes what they have at the X receiver, and it changes how they can use John Ross. And then with Jonah Williams, what was interesting with this team last year, guys, Cordy Glenn, you know, didn't feel like playing for much of the year, but when he got on the field late, it was a noticeable difference for the offense. And not because Glenn was anything special, but just because there was a stabilizing effect and kind of a trickle-down effect. So I'm sure they're saying, hey, Jonah Williams, he's our left tackle. We feel good about him. Michael Jordan at left guard got better over the course of last year. We feel good about him. And they're going to feel like they have a different line. It's not a great line, but they can at least play with this line. So Burrow's in a much better spot than Andy Dalton was in.
It makes a lot of sense, you know, seeing that. I mean, outside, you know, they needed the quarterback, obviously. Receiver T. Higgins, a little bit of a bonus pick, probably the heir apparent there to A.J. Green. But they draft two linebackers, the third and fourth round, and Logan Wilson and Akeem Davis-Gaither. What do you think about those guys, and do you think that they'll be able to have a big impact for them early on?
Well, Wilson, I've heard, and I don't watch – once these guys get in the NFL, I'll watch all their snaps on film. When they're in college, I'm not as familiar with them in that sense. But from people I respect who have studied these guys within the league, I've heard some people say Wilson's not a whole lot unlike Patrick Queen, who Baltimore drafted late in the first round. Now, Queen might be a little bit more talented, but what you're getting is a guy who can play in your nickel or dime sub-packages. And Cincinnati, as bad as their O-line was on film last year, I thought their linebackers at times, they were very inconsistent, but their lows, the bad side of their inconsistency, was just as bad, if not worse, than the O-line. They had a real issue at that position. So now we have Logan Wilson here. Jermaine Pratt, we drafted in the third round a year ago. He had some safety background in college. We feel he can play in coverage. You need nickel linebackers who can cover in the NFL. Playing the run, of course, is important, and Cincinnati has to get a lot better in that regard. But it starts with coverage anymore, and these are guys I'm sure they feel good about in coverage. So just having some athleticism at that position, that's going to make it a different-looking defense this year.
All right, Cleveland Browns, Jedrick Wills was there, and there was a lot of wasn't really a consensus number one tackle in this draft. There was a lot of depth there, and, you know, he played right. They're going to need him to play left, but and Delpit, certainly a safety from LSU, had some high moments, some lower moments as well. What did you think of the Browns draft?
I like that they got the tackle, and I think it is important. The delineation between left tackle and right tackle, that's gotten – overblown over the years, and anymore at the nature of the passing game, so much quick strike, so many shotgun formations, the fact that most of the best pass rushing defensive ends play on the left side. Think of J.J. Watt, Von Miller, where these Khalil Mack, where these guys have lined up facing right tackles a lot. So the idea that your left tackle is more valuable than your right tackle, I don't think is valid anymore. I think they both have equal value. Having said that, I thought it was real important that they find a left tackle because Jack Conklin in Tennessee, he struggled mightily for most of his first 3 years in the NFL, which is why he was available this year. They did not pick up his fifth-year option in Tennessee because they didn't think he was any good. he got good in his fourth year because he changed his mechanics and really honed that in. I do not want to take Jack Conklin at right tackle and say, hey, change your mechanics again, now do it on the left side, because he just finally found his comfort zone. So I thought it was vital that they find a guy who they feel can play the left tackle position. As far as Delpit goes, he needs to be a more consistent tackler than he was a year ago, especially in what I imagine the Browns will run in their scheme. Probably a lot of quarters coverage where it's two safeties back deep, but not super deep. And they have run fit responsibilities on the outside. They're primary run defenders a lot of the time in that scheme. So that's an important part. But Delpit, you know, their safeties coach here, Jeff Howard, he was the guy that worked with Anthony Harris in Minnesota, and Harris became a franchise player, and obviously Harris and Smith was there. I think Delpit's in a good spot because they got some good safety coaching there.
We're talking with Andy Benoy, NFL analyst and reporter here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. So we covered the two Ohio teams. You know, outside of that, when you look at this, you know, who do you think, or who have you heard has had the best draft, I guess, so far, based upon, you know, the talent that they acquired and potentially fitting the needs that they had?
Yeah, I think it's your former team, Bobby, because Dallas had a few very defined needs, and some of them were for this year and some were for next year with some of these contracts that are coming up, mainly at cornerback. So to get Trayvon Diggs at corner and late in the second round, and then I really like the CD Lamb pick. You know, none of us know if these guys are going to pan out in and of themselves, but conceptually, when you look at the style of player and what you're getting with Lamb and his ability to play in the slot, which Dallas needed, they needed a slot receiver, and his ability to play outside, that gives you a lot of options for how you use Amari Cooper. And Cooper, even though he's paid enormous money, he has struggled against press coverage at times. And when he's inconsistent, it's almost always when there's a jam press cornerback involved. So if you move him in the slot, where I think he's at his best, he avoids the press coverage. He becomes more of a dynamic intermediate route runner, because if you can't get your hands on Cooper, he is almost unguardable at the intermediate levels. His slant routes, his two-direction routes, he's phenomenal. So getting Lamb for Dallas, in theory, not only gives him a really good number three receiver, but I think he can make their number one receiver a lot better.
Andy Benoit, NFL analyst, reporter. You can read his grades on SI.com. Let me ask you about the Colts. They get Rivers, right, in free agency, and then they hand him quickly Michael Pittman Jr. and Jonathan Taylor, the running back out of Wisconsin. What do you think of those two picks?
I liked both of those for the reason that Taylor, from people I respect in the league, they thought he was the best pure runner in this draft. He's not the most multi-dimensional running back by chance, but they have Nyheim Hines there already, who kind of plays that Austin Ekeler role for them. And Marlon Mack's here for one more year at back, and he's a little bit more dimensional than Taylor. They got a really good runner there to go behind a really diverse and dominant run-blocking offensive line. And then as far as Michael Pittman at wide receiver, for one, they needed a perimeter weapon, a guy who could lift coverage at times. And just they need a true guy out there. They need an X receiver. Rivers has played with big targets his entire life in the NFL. Michael Floyd and Vincent Jackson early in the San Diego days. More recently, it was Keenan Allen and especially Mike Williams. There was Tyrell Williams a couple years ago. He has been highly successful throwing to these long-bodied 6'3", 6'4", perimeter guys. So I thought Pittman made a lot of sense for them.
You know, looking at a team that traded away, you know, one of their elite receivers in, you know, Diggs to the Buffalo Bills earlier, pick up a first-round draft pick. The Minnesota Vikings had a lot of draft equity. They're in a win-now situation. Do you feel like they answered all their needs and got good value kind of in where they were?
They did answer their needs. Again, we don't know if the players will pan out, but they needed a lot of – yeah, and I know you're not suggesting that, but they needed a lot of help at corner. What's interesting is Mike Zimmer in his career, way back in the Cincinnati days and more recently in the Minnesota days, they've always had first or second-round corners as the top three corner spots, and they've always developed those guys from the bench. They usually sit for a year and a half, 2 years. They'll play 10 or 12 snaps a game. They don't have enough corner depth to do that right now. So Jeff Gladney at slot, I assume he'll be the slot corner, their 31st overall pick from TCU. He's going to have to play the slot right away. They don't have the other bodies. Cameron Dantzler at Mississippi State, he might have to play right away. So Zimmer, I'm sure, will not be as comfortable with that. And Minnesota, what's made them great is that they've had these veteran guys who are all former first-round picks. They've all been in the system together on defense for years. That's really not the case anymore. So there's more pressure on that offense, which probably makes the Justin Jefferson pick in the first round more important because they need him to start. These guys have to play right now is what I'm getting at. And that's not usual for Minnesota. So I don't know if this team's as good as it was a year ago.
Let's give you one last say here on the Patriots, right? I mean, they had the offseason not to remember, right, with Brady taking off and then Gronk coming out of retirement. And now they went a little crazy. I guess they signed a couple of undrafted free agent quarterbacks after drafting none in the main draft. And I think they took that D2 kid as their first pick, the safety. Give me your thoughts on the Patriots.
Well, I think they followed the model that they've always stuck by. They usually take a versatile defensive back at some point in the second or third round. Usually it's the second round. And they want bigger-bodied guys in their front seven. You know, everybody says, are you a 3-4 or a 4-3 defense? And really, these teams all play the same gap principles anymore. The 3-4, when people think of that, they think of two-gapping and big, meaty guys that take up space. New England's one of the few teams that truly does still play 3-4 defense, so which gives them an advantage because they go after guys that other teams don't necessarily prioritize, big, strong, physical players. So they drafted guys that they feel can fit that for them. They had some needs at tight end, and they took a couple of those in the middle rounds. I know people are talking about the quarterback deal. Here's what I think is going on with New England is Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels understand that they're outstanding coaches and they have a lot of faith in what they do. And if these guys run our system the way we teach it, we're going to win a lot more games than we lose. So we don't want unpredictability at quarterback. We don't want the highs and lows, even if the highs can be very high. We want a guy that will execute the stuff we practice and install every week. And they know Brian Hoyer will do that. Hoyer's done that throughout his career. He's done it for them before as a backup. They don't want unpredictability at the quarterback position. So that's why they're not going out and reaching for a quarterback in this draft.
No, clearly they didn't. And the rebuild starts now for them. We'll see if it happens. Andy Benoit with us talking NFL draft. Great stuff, Andy. We'll direct people to SI.com to read your grades, bud. Thanks for hopping on with us.
Okay, thank you.
Andy was on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline.